Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Sister Judith, and we're going to continue on with a message I've been sharing on worship, attitudes of worship. We've learned in over the last several days that the Father desires those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In fact, Jesus said, we must worship the Father in that way. And so Psalm 51 and 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." And I believe if your desire is to become a true worshiper, such as Jesus spoke about, that we have that privilege, we have the ability, we simply have to desire to become that. In that psalm I share with you, Psalm 51, David says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And this is a place I'm sure we can all identify with. Unless we earnestly and consistently and continually seek God, unless we are, as Jesus said, watching and praying, it is so easy in the times in which we're living to slip back into lukewarmness, indifference, spiritual stagnation, or just become overwhelmed with problems and issues. We can become spiritually apathetic. And so the will of God, as I've been sharing in this teaching, is worship. That's the will of God in the universe. We know that Jesus is coming back, and we're coming into a time, praise God, when universal worship will be restored as it was at the beginning. And so I'd like to share some scripture references. I give a lot of scriptures to document what I'm saying, that there's prophetical references to God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, throughout the Word of God. And I'll share Psalm 22 and 27, which declares, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee." Well, that hasn't happened yet, but it is coming. Isaiah 66 and 23 says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh and come to worship before me, saith the Lord." And of course, that Jesus will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And Zechariah 14 and 16 declares, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem," this is the Battle of Armageddon, right, "shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Praise God. A couple more scriptures, Psalm 66 and 4, "All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, they shall sing to thy name." Psalm 86 and 9 says, "All the nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name." And although these are prophetical references to the literal kingdom that Christ will establish, we can partake even now. The kingdom is within you, beloved. We can usher in as true worshipers, as prototypes, if you will, the era of universal praise and worship that will occur when the King returns. Praise God. So, did you ever wonder about what we're going to do in the kingdom? Well, let me share. I'm just filled with scriptures today for you. Philippians 2, 9 and 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven," Look how comprehensive this is. Things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That's another discussion. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Revelation 5, 8, and 10 declares, and when he, this is referring to Jesus, had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So, beloved, that's what we'll be doing in the kingdom. We've been made kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. We won't know the details of that until the time comes, because that's the Lord's way. He never lets us know very much in advance. So now we've heard of the word, of what it says to make disciples of men. And so as we become more and more beautiful examples of the true worshipers, let's spread that word. Let's become examples. Let's become co-workers with the Holy Spirit to bring true worshipers to the Father. That's God's plan. He wants his family brought together. Praise God. Well, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the subject of worship, and the most important thing is, of course, as Jesus said, that foundation scripture in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, the Father seeks those who will worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it's important we understand what it means in spirit and in truth, but also in truth indicates that all that we are, body, soul, and spirit, will worship God. We are united. We're a tripartite being. Body, soul, and spirit, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And so, when Jesus spoke in that fourth chapter of John, he was talking about the spirit, the Hebrew way of speaking of the inner man. It really wasn't until the Greeks that the spirit and soul sort of became divided, but the Hebrews just consider the spirit and the body. But it involves the total being of a man. And we know, as Paul expressed in Thessalonians, the body, soul, and spirit, we're to present our body as a living sacrifice. And of course, we certainly can use the body in worship. We talked about bowing before him, lifting up the hands, as the evening sacrifice psalm talks about that. But what I'd like to do now is talk about a subject that is important, about glorifying God with our souls. How do we do that? Because, beloved, part of the issue in us worshiping God and praising him is that many times we get so bowed down with the battles, with the burdens, that it's hard to praise God. And that, of course, our spirit man is always alive and in connection with the Holy. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells with us. But it's our soul nature. And that is the very part of our body sometimes, or our person, our being, that causes issue. You know, I speak about the three-part division of man, but that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, let me just share it with you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's wholly. In other words, all of you, every part of you. And I pray, he identifies now what he's saying, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll share with you the definition of soul. We've talked about what the spirit is, and it's difficult to define in word. Because really they're abstruse theological and philosophical concepts. But for our purposes, we're interested in a layman's understanding so we can enhance our Christian walk and our worship to the Lord. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, a familiar passage, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder," listen to this, "of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So there is a distinction between the soul and the spirit. The soul kind of being the seed of will and emotions. R.B. Fawcett's commentary says that the Greek for thoughts refers to the mind and feelings, and the word intents, or rather mental conception, refers to the intellect. So as we can see from the definition of the word soul, there are various meanings for this word, and this is also borne out by Scripture. The word soul is used in various ways. First of all, it describes the total being of an individual, a living entity, a person's total self. Remember, in the beginning, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he became a living soul. In other words, he fully, all parts of him became alive. And when we say Jesus saves, he saves our soul. Of course, he saves all of us, and our physical body will become like his, will be transformed as Jesus, and will be like him when he returns to take his bride to be with him forever. And then, of course, that refers to man's moral and emotional nature. We're talking about the soul now. And so I'd like to share some scriptures, but I see my time has fled away, and so we'll save this for tomorrow's broadcast. I do thank you for joining me, and I, as always, invite you to write and share your prayer needs. This is a personal ministry. Yes, I alone answer and read the mail, I write the letters, and I pray for you personally and individually over every letter that comes in. So I do invite you, because it's, well, I suppose, one of the, God's kept us small enough that I can still do that. So I invite you, if you need prayer support, the announcer will share our contact information. If you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so I can respond personally by letter. But know that I will confirm receipt, and of course I will pray. I love you, and I thank you for your prayerful support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.